Life Point Church, how are we doing? One person. Yes. Yes. It was good to see you guys this morning. So thankful that you're here with us worshiping. And didn't the team do a great job today? Give it up for them. Did such a great job. Today we're wrapping up our current series that we've been in. You know, we've been in it for, you know, all of 2020. And that one didn't land. It's okay. All of 2020, man, but it's called Faith Forward, right? And we've been working through this, and we've been looking at the things that we can do, the intentional steps that we can take to move our faith forward. Because as Christ followers, right, if we truly believe what we say we do, if we believe that God sent his son Jesus, died and rose again for us, and we claim that as our salvation, and we claim that as the banner that we carry day in and day out, it's critical for us to know as much as we can about God, to learn more and more, to spend more time with him, and to connect with him and connect with his people in a deep, deep way. And so in this series, that's what we've focused on, is how can we grow spiritually? Right? How can we move our faith from wherever it is right now forward into a positive direction, into a new direction? Regardless of where you are, it needs to move forward. Whether you've been a believer for a week, you can move forward. If you've been a believer for 45, 50 years, you can still move forward. It's a journey that never ends until we meet Jesus face to face. And we have to stay vigilant with it. And so far in this series, just a quick little recap. This is, like I said, the last week of this series. We're wrapping this thing up. So quick little recap. We started things off with what I call the Faith Forward Foundation. Because in growing up in the church, I was hit with all the spiritual disciplines over and over and over again. And honestly, they're great. We should do them. We need to pray. We need to read God's word. We need to spend time studying it. We need to spend time with other believers. But whenever I didn't do it perfectly or the way that I thought I was supposed to, man, I was just guilt-ridden, right? I just felt terrible. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to wrestle with those things. He wants us to move forward. And in order to move forward, sometimes it's messy. Something that God has kind of been speaking to me over the past several weeks is sometimes moving forward feels and looks like a step back at first, but it's really not. And that's where grace comes into play, right? Grace for salvation initially is the first step in our faith forward journey, but also grace throughout that entire journey that never ends because we need it. We thrive off God's grace. It's a gift that he's given us, and we need to receive it. And so with that faith-forward foundation of grace, then we could move into what we talked about in week two is connecting with God, right? Really, truly connecting with him in prayer, solitude, fasting, and then taking in the Bible. These are all different ways that we can connect with God and should connect with God. And then last week we talked about how not only are we to connect with God, but we've got to connect with God's people, right? Because that's in the DNA of the church, right? That's what the church kind of was started for. Like, we spent time together. We did life together. When you look in the book of Acts, they truly, truly did life together. And it's iron sharpening iron. It's making us better. It's making us stronger, more prepared to go out and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And one of the beautiful things about connecting with God's people is that God loves to use his people to speak truth and life to you. Therefore, he wants to use you to speak truth and life to someone else. It's a beautiful thing about the body of Christ, which is the church. All of these things will move your faith forward if you put them into practice. They will. From where you're at now to where you'll go will be huge if you begin to do these things, right? Connecting with God, connecting with his people. They're a must. But for what? Right? Why? Yeah, to move our faith forward. yeah, to connect with God. These are all important things, but what I want you to understand as we wrap up this series that these are all beautiful, necessary, great things, but they don't exist just for us. They don't exist for us to learn as much as we can about God and then kind of sit and huddle and only hang out with other believers, only God's people, and just to rest in all this. That's not the end goal. It's not the end game, right? The end game is to actually take that then and put it in action. Right? As you are connecting with God, as you're connecting with his people, you're growing stronger in your faith, and you and God are just like on the same wavelength, and it's a beautiful and encouraging thing. It's an exciting thing. And then you start to have real conversations about scripture and about what you're going through with other believers, and iron is sharpening iron, but we do all that so that we can then go and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And the way we do that is by putting faith in action. Because if we don't do that, then honestly, in a sense, it's somewhat pointless. If it doesn't change us to the fact that it changes our lives, do we really have faith? That's a question that you need to wrestle with. Are you just going through the motions to check it off your list? Or is it radically transforming your life to where you can't help but put it into action? It's a must. If you're going to move your faith forward, you have to put it in action. Check out what James had to say about this in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, and we're going to read a little bit, but this is really good stuff. Check it out. It says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished by actions, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith. Hey, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." This is something that always sticks out to me. It's kind of like this, it has this sarcastic tone to it, which I tend to gravitate towards sarcasm. But it's, you believe in God. Great. Even the demons believe in him. They do, and they shudder. It says they shudder. "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together." That's so important. His faith and his actions were working together. "And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? And check this out. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." You see, your faith and your actions, they have to work together. They have to come together at some point. If you say that you're a believer and that you have faith, but there is no evidence, there's no actions, then you really need to investigate. You need to wrestle with that. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that you have to earn your salvation. Not saying that. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Period, the end. You are made a new creation through Jesus. The fact that he died and rose again for you, and that's enough, more than enough. But at the same time, if we have been radically transformed, if this old person that we were is dead and now we are brought to life anew in Jesus, actions will follow. Faith without works is dead. And it breaks my heart to think about how many people that I know personally and other people that I'm sure all throughout the world have bailed on God and have bailed on church because Christians love to talk the talk, but not enough of them walk the walk. Oh, they can talk a good game, but let me see your life. How are you treating your neighbor? What are you doing? Where's the evidence of that transformation? So many people have bailed because of lack of someone's faith in action. James also said this in James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. He said, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you will do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. We're not supposed to just listen to the word. You actually have to do what it says. You have to. It's like, I think of the example, you know, about this mirror, right? How many of you, think about this, how many of you would, before like a date, before a big job interview or a big presentation or whatever it may be, that you look in the mirror, you see you got a little hunk of spinach going on in your front teeth right here, and maybe a little cliffhanger hanging, and then look at it, see it, notice it, and then just turn around and walk away and do nothing about it. Go on your date. Go to your presentation. How many of y'all would do that? Right. Nobody would. You take care of what you saw. Make sure you were looking fresh. But see, that's what it's saying here, is that if we take in God's word, we read it, we hear it, we listen to it, we know it, but we don't actually do it, that's like looking in the mirror and seeing all this mess and doing nothing about it. We have to do what it says. As Christ followers, we exist to serve God and then to go live out our faith. We have to live it out. If not, it's pointless. It makes me think about one of my favorite quotes, and I don't want to say who quoted it because it's debated and it's a bunch of people trying to take credit for it, but it's, a ship in the harbor is safe, but that is not what ships are built for. I love that. As someone who is typically fear-stricken and doesn't do things based out of fear or the what-ifs, man, that is so, so powerful for me. A ship in the harbor is safe, man, but that's not what the ship is built for. It's built to journey. It's built to go out in open waters. And it's the same thing for us as Christ followers. You see, we are not created to just sit around, huddle, pat each other on the back, and just grow and be as smart biblically and theologically as we can. Those aren't bad things, but that has to exist for us then to go. We're not made to just sit here in this building. We have to go. Sure, it's safe. Sure, you can kind of read through scripture and wrestle with it and then not have to really apply it. That's easy. But it's the application piece that's so, so important. We have to put our faith in action. We have to be doers of the word. So with that being said, what does God's word actually say that we're to do? Right? Being very practical, what do we need to do to put it in action? Well, It's we just do the word, right? There's tons and tons of things that we see through Scripture that we can and should be doing as Christ followers. But for the sake of time this morning, I want to focus in on three of those things that I believe to be the most important in order to help us move our faith forward and put our faith in action. Things that I believe the world around us is longing to see from someone who claims the name of Jesus. Like, they want it. They're looking for it. Honestly, they're constantly disappointed because they don't see it. And it's what's driving people away from the church. And I think that if we could do these three things and focus on these three things as individuals and as a church in 2020, I think our faith will move forward, and I think we'll be an encouragement to people and help them to come to know Jesus based off of our faith in action. So check it out. The first thing that we see is that we need to put our faith in action through love, right? We have to love. So many people who claim the name of Jesus, I honestly, as someone that grew up in the church, as a pastor, I look and I say, man, you are missing love. Sure, you might have all the right answers. Sure, you might know a ton more than me. But dude, are you loving your neighbor? Are you loving other believers that might differ on something that's a fringe thing that really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter when you have a lost person right here that doesn't know Jesus? How are you loving people? I think it's the single most important attribute of a believer is that we love. And that's not just me saying that. In John chapter 13, prior to Jesus being arrested and crucified, he said this to his disciples. He says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is per Jesus' command. Not Andy's. Jesus. You have to love one another. And by that, by the way you treat people, by the way you love them, they will know that you're a Christ follower. And it says not only to love them, but to love as Jesus loves you. Unconditionally, unapologetically, unmerited, looking past our flaws and all the stupid things that we do, he loves us. That's how we're supposed to love other people. Not by how much scripture you know. They're not going to know that you're a believer because of that, but they're going to know by how you love them. They're not going to know that you're a believer based off the fact that you can win an argument or that maybe even you're right, but on how you love. It's so, so important. This has radically shaped the direction of my ministry and how I treat people, is seeing people that claim the name of Christ that I know personally, that I grew up with, and seeing the hate that they spew in the name of God, and it drives people away from God. It drives people that are believers away from the church. And they say it's in love, but I don't see the love in that. I don't ever see Jesus just blasting people that are sinners. I see him coming at the Pharisees and the religious leaders. I see him truly loving people that were far from him. Yes, he pointed out things that they needed to work on. That's perfectly okay. But I want you to go back through, read the New Testament and the life of Jesus, and look at how he did that with compassion, with love, standing up for them, standing with them. And with love said, hey, you might want to make some changes. Go and sin no more. But he first encountered them with love. It can be a game changer. We're supposed to love people as God loves us. And that's a big task. But if we want to move our faith forward and put our faith in action, love has to be there. The second thing that we see that in our lives that we need to begin to make sure that our faith is in action is in how we serve. Right? We need to serve. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have to serve others. As Christ followers, it's part of who we are. We're servants. We serve one another, and we serve those outside of these walls. We're to serve. Jesus couldn't have been any clearer about the importance of service and serving other people when he humbled himself, right? Jesus, the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, knelt down and washed the nasty, stinky feet of the disciples. I love you guys, but I don't know that I could wash your all's feet, especially you all that wear sandals year-round. Yikes. But Jesus washed his disciples' feet in an act of service. And after he did that, he said this in John 13, starting verse 14. He said, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." You should serve them, right? "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know this, you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." We have to follow Jesus' example in serving others. If Jesus is serving his disciples in that manner, we have to serve anyone and everyone that we see. We have to create a life of service. And there's so many different ways that we can serve. But yet we live in a culture, in a society that is kind of me-focused, right? We want people to serve us. We've earned it. We deserve it. We worked hard. Man, I've had bosses throughout my career that some of them had that approach where it's just all about them because they are the man or the woman. But I've also had some leaders that were true servant leaders. We'd get down in the middle of it and they would step up and do it before you had a chance to. And say, okay, now that I've showed you how to do this, go do it. I think we would all agree that we like that servant leader much, much more. Because it's infectious, but we should be serving our community. We should be serving within our church. We should be serving those who don't know Christ. We are not better than. Someone that doesn't know Jesus, newsflash, you are not better than them. You've just been blessed by the grace of God to know Jesus because someone told you about him, because somebody invited you to church, or because somebody actually lived out the gospel, had their faith in action. You're like, man, I want what they have. So we need to be that for someone else. We're not better than. We need to serve them and love them. It's a way of moving our faith forward and putting our faith in action. Jesus further explained this to his disciples in Luke 22, and he said this. Then they began to argue, the disciples, they began to argue amongst themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Super spiritual disciples right there, huh? Sometimes I think we put them on this huge pedestal that they are the untouchables. These dudes are down here like arguing with each other about who's the greatest. It just cracks me up. Jesus told them, "In this world, the kings and the great men lord over it, over their people. Yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank. And the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. Not here, for I am among you as one who serves." Jesus said, "I am here to serve." He's the ultimate example of how we should live our faith out and service. He served to the point of going to the cross. He served every single one of us in that manner, taking on our guilt, our shame. He served us in that way. And we have to live out our faith through service. And I'm very just honored to be a part of a church where there are so many incredible people that serve day in and day out. When I think of LifePoint Church and I look at what's going on around here, I see people who truly put their faith in action and serve. It's incredible. I'm going to call her out, and I hope it doesn't embarrass her, but Darlene was here Friday cleaning, and the church looked incredible. I've heard a few people make comments about it, but that's a heart of service. She's serving you guys. She's serving the other groups that meet here by coming and cleaning. And she did it for no other reason but to serve, to put her faith in action. And there's so many stories that I could tell you of people here that serve. But again, it's a journey, and we have to continue to do so. And if you're not just saying necessarily here, if you're not here, we'd love for you to plug in. There's room. It's a great way to serve. But outside these walls, be a servant. And when people ask you why, it's because of Jesus. It's living out our faith. And the final thing that we're going to cover this morning is probably the most difficult, and we've talked about it from time to time, but I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about this in a way of living out our faith, and that's to forgive. It's to forgive. Again, we live in a day and time where we like to point blame. We like to hold on to things that frustrate us. We hold on to things that hurt us. Even when we don't want to, it just lingers. But when we put our faith in action, we can forgive. And I know that's a huge task for many of you who have actually experienced some very, very terrible things from other people. And it's hard to want to forgive them. Hurtful things that have happened. I don't ever talk about this lightheartedly, because forgiveness is challenging, but forgiveness is truly faith in action. Because in of ourselves, in our human nature, we don't want to forgive. It does not come easy. But in our God-given nature, as a new creation, created anew in Christ Jesus, we can forgive. Forgiveness for the Christ follower is a must. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, Jesus said, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Forgiveness is critical. And then in Matthew 18, 21 through 22, it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?'" He probably thought he was spiritual, being like, seven times? Jesus is like, no, 70 times seven. That's a lot of times. We have to forgive. As a Christ follower, it's a must. And I know, I'm right there with you. There's times that I don't want to forgive people. There's people that I'm thinking of right now that I have to wrestle with to forgive. And I have to come to a point of forgiveness like multiple times, because I'm like, yes, I forgive them. I'm going to release that. And then all of a sudden I let the flesh kind of start to build up. And then I get mad about something with that person or what they did. And then I'm like, no, I've got to forgive them. I got to release that. And one of the things that helps me when I don't want to forgive is that I think about the fact that Jesus forgave from the cross. He forgave from the cross. Nails in his hands and feet, crown of thorns on his head, brutally beaten, and he forgave those people. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." We've heard that all the time. If you've been in church, you've heard that. If you've been to an Easter service, you've heard that. But it's powerful. And it will help you when you don't want to forgive if you think about the fact that Jesus forgave from the cross. Second part of that verse doesn't get talked about that much because that nice little snippet there fits good. But the second part is, and the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice, casting lots. I think that's an interesting that those are together right there. Because you see Jesus in his most vulnerable place on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they couldn't care less. They're still down there gambling for his clothes. And he's forgiven them. See, forgiveness isn't done so that that person will say, okay, I forgive you. It's you letting go, letting God take control of that, letting God work in and through you to forgive that hurt so that you can then move forward, so that you can live out your faith and that whether it be them or other people around you, will take notice of that. The fact that they have you have no business forgiving them, but you did. And it's because of who you are in Christ. Because he's changed you. He's transformed you. It's because your faith has been moving forward. You see, we're not supposed to just listen to God's word. We have to do what it says. We have to live it out. Faith without works is dead. Faith without action is pointless. We have to put it in action. If we're not doing that, then why bother? Faith without works is dead. If we truly believe in Jesus, right? You spend time fasting and in solitude and you're doing all these things and then you're connecting with his people. Right here at church and outside of these walls, and you're connecting, you're having conversations. It's beautiful. You got iron sharpening iron, and then as a result, you're living it out every day. Your faith is on display. Many people say, man, I don't know how to share the gospel. Live it. I'm an introvert. I don't like to talk. Cool. Live it. Trust me, actions speak so much louder than words. And there's so much, actions are more powerful than words. When you live out your faith, people take notice. That opens the door. Don't rob them of that. Put your faith in action. If we're going to move our faith forward in 2020 as individuals and then as a church, got to do these things. And I truly believe. That's why I want to kick this year off, January off with this series, because I really believe that if each one of you, including myself, will receive grace, connect with God, connect with his people, and put your faith in action, man, when we get to December, this place is going to be radically different, and your life will be radically different. Not perfect. You don't get spaghetti on the face. But that's why there's grace. Life will be different. Let's move our faith forward. Let's do it together. Because we're in this thing together, right? All right, let's pray. God, we come to you this morning just humbled and thankful, God, that we can even come before you. That we can speak to you, that we can be in your presence. God, what a blessing and an honor it is to have the opportunity to connect with you. God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the grace that you pour out on our lives over and over again. And over again. We're so thankful. And God, as we take some time now to just to reflect on your word, reflect on our lives, reflect on what it is that you want us to hear and what you want us to do, God. I just pray that each and every one of us here would be responsive to that, to not push you away, to not be afraid, not to stay in the harbor, but to receive what it is that you want us to do and to go, to move our faith forward out into open waters as we were created to do. As we continue this morning in a spirit of prayer, I want each of you here sitting, or if you're listening on the podcast, to take a moment. And I want you to examine your relationship with God. Not in a way of judgment or shame. Remember grace. But think about your relationship with God. Maybe it's that you don't really have a relationship with God. And if that's you, you are in a beautiful place. And if that's you, I want to tell you this morning that man, God loves you so much. And he wants you to step into that relationship with him. Believing that he's the Son of God, that he died and rose again for you. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you will be saved. So if that's where your relationship with God is, where it just doesn't exist yet, step over that line of faith. Confess and believe. He'll receive you. And he'll make you a new creation. Forgiven. Connected with God eternally. It's the most beautiful decision, the most important decision you'll ever make. I'm going to encourage you to spend that time with God. Just call out to him however he leads. Just give him your life. But maybe when you start thinking of your relationship with God, you know you're connected with him through salvation, through grace. But your daily connection is on the struggle bus. Or maybe that you spend tons of time connecting with him in solitude and isolation, but you don't really do much connecting with his people. Or maybe it's that you do those things well, but no one outside these walls really knows anything about your faith. You're not living it. You've not put it in action. Maybe it's a combination of all three. I've been there. But whatever it is, whatever God is speaking to you right now, you just spend some time and you talk to him about that. Real, authentic, honest. Have a conversation with him about that. And then whatever he leads you to do, you take that next step forward. Don't be afraid of it. Take the next step, whatever it is that he's revealing to you. God, I pray for each person that's here, Lord, that as you speak to them, that they would be responsive, that they would be bold, connecting with you, connecting with your people, God, and be bold in living out their faith, putting their faith in action, and that we all would begin to move faith forward. And we thank you for your grace as we stumble and fall through that process. But may we always get up, thank you, and then take another step forward. God, speak truth, speak life over us in this moment.
Sings my soul, my Savior God, to me.